Before I move into my message, I'd like to just, if we could all just agree in prayer. I told Don and Tim that I would have all my notes for the worship folder and for my sermon to them sometime early in the week. And as my sermon expanded to an obscenely lengthy stretch, which I won't bother you with now, the date of getting things to them kind of disappeared until, did I get it to you Friday or Saturday? Yeah, well, it was awfully late. And so I've tried to shrink it down to about a half hour, but if you have reservations at a restaurant, I apologize now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us right now. Father, I pray right now that you'd open up the word to each one of us. Father, open up my heart that I can share the message that you placed on it. Father, I pray that you'd subtract the things that are just strictly mine. And Father, I pray that you'd add those things that are for all of us. So Holy Spirit, bless us, touch us, encourage us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things that I've noticed as we're moving into 2023 is that God has been working in our midst. Whether we believe it or not, God has been speaking through Val. He's been speaking through the Franks. And hopefully he's going to speak through me now. But the thing that I notice is that God is getting us all ready to step out and to be the one who carries the message of the gospel to the world. God cares so much, not just for us, but for everyone who's alive, that they would all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's preparing us to step forth and go. You're kind of looking at me like I've gone nuts. Do you remember this phrase, going out beyond the walls of the church? We've heard that once or twice before. That's what God is calling us to. As I was praying, I felt like the Lord was saying, as we go, we can't just go with our theology or our doctrine. That's not what's going to save a soul. Who saves a soul? There you go, a little bit louder. Jesus. If some of us are going to get excited about NFL football today, we need to be screaming Jesus a whole lot louder. But Jesus is the one that we take out. We go out in the power of the Spirit to share the gospel, the great news of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, which we just right now, shared communion all about. Isn't it amazing how God works things together for all of our benefits? So he prepared us and is preparing us and will continue to prepare us as we go out and we share the gospel. Now, the crazy thing is that I was speaking with Pastor Val this morning. We had a time of prayer. And one of the things he told me was that besides having influence here inside the walls of the church, he has influence outside the walls of the church. He ministers to that Richmond softball group. He has impact not just on the players, but their families. It's amazing when we find that crazy little niche, that all of a sudden the things that God has stored up inside of each one of us we can share. And I think many of you are beginning to feel this. Karen, last Sunday, she talked about her ministry place is 7-Eleven. Isn't that right? And that's a religious icon right now. Karen just held up her big gulp cup. Now, we heard a little bit from Pastor Frank the Younger this morning. He talked about Teen Challenge. That's his place to minister. And you know how we know? When he's speaking, you see that passion. You see that excitement. You see that burden that the Lord has placed on him. And he's just, I just think Frankie is just waiting to just explode on the scene to even more. So Frankie, we bless you in that in Jesus' name. Go forth and just be amazing. Now I have my own place of ministry. My place of ministry is just generally anybody who looks at me kindly and just gently smiles. I will talk to just about anyone. But my favorite place to minister is on Carnival cruise ships. I have thousands of people captive. And yes, they're mine. And we have a great time going and sharing. But the crazy thing is it just doesn't stop there. It can be off the ship. I went to buy Hawaiian t-shirts. As some of you know, Glenn and I and Tim and Julie Forsythe and Marvin Barbanelli. Marvin, Barbara, Alan Brand. We just went on a two-week cruise to Hawaii. And while they were all out enjoying the beach at Honolulu, I was wandering through t-shirt stores. And there was this very, very nice lady, and we just started a conversation. By the end of the conversation, she knew I was a pastor. She let me pray for her. And it just so happened that on the next night, if we had been in Honolulu one more night, we had an invitation to go to their home and watch the turning on the Christmas lights in Honolulu. They basically were inviting us into the family. Why? It's not because I'm a neat guy, even though I am. The reality is that God is opening doors for each one of us. There's opportunity to step out and to share the gospel in amazing ways, however it is. 3 or 4 years ago, I was preaching at another church, and I couldn't sleep. Some of you pastors, you know that on Saturday nights, Sunday mornings, it's difficult to continue to sleep. Well, I couldn't sleep, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just realized I need to fill my car with gas. And so I tossed on some sweats, and I drove over to the gas station there. It's the Fred Meyer gas station between Gateway and 82nd on Halsey. It's one of the cheaper gas stations. I went in there, and this lady came out, and she started filling my car up with gas. And nobody else is there except for the other two workers. The four of us were there. And I just asked, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. Well, that didn't sound very convincing. What's going on? And then she told me a story about her grandmother passing away that had just passed away the week before. And we stopped, and we just talked. She finished filling up my car with gas, but that didn't end our conversation. A young guy looked like he's right out of high school. One of the other people working there, he came in, and I said, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm okay. Really? What's going on with you? He said, well, my grandfather just passed away. So he and I spent time talking, and I ministered to this young guy because of the grief that he had. The third guy, middle-aged gentleman, he came in, and I said, well, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm okay. Really? What's going on with you? Oh, my sister just died. I wouldn't want to work at this gas station because their relatives are dying. But the reality is that at 3 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep, God had a divine appointment to me. And I went out and I ministered to them. And I prayed with them. And I asked God to bless them, to comfort them in their time of grief. God is just waiting for us to say yes to, as he's guiding us to live our lives, to share the gospel with whoever we come across. Some of you may be thinking that, you know, this is a perfect example of what John Lennon was talking about in one of his songs. Life is what happens while we're making other plans. Ministry is what happens while we're making other plans, and it's what we do along the way. It's amazing to see God at work. So I'm going to give you my punchline up front. I'm going to give you a challenge for 2023. The challenge is, will you obey the voice of the Lord this year? God is building each one of us up to a newness of opportunity and ministry because we as Christians are called to be ministers. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be worship leaders. We're not all called to be teachers and mentors, but we are all called to share the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's something Val said last week. Where are you, Val? Val said, it's one beggar showing another beggar where he found bread. It's where we found salvation. It's where we found that excitement in our lives. Scripture also tells us we've been called in season and out of season to be ready to give an account for the joy that's in our hearts. We need to be ready to share as we live our lives. The thing that I want to bring out at this point is that I just said that we're not to go forth on our theology, we're not to go forth on our doctrine. God didn't send his son to create a religion. God did not send his son to create a doctrine. God sent his son for us to have a relationship with the Father, to have relationship. And so as we go forth, we need to realize that we need to be in that relationship if we want to show somebody else how to have that relationship. I think the last few times I've been up front, whether the one time I preached before or the few times that I've been up talking about prayer, I've talked about relationship. It's not about learning theology. It's about getting to know the one who loves us so much. It's spending time in prayer and learning to hear his voice. When Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," and that's in John 14, he was talking about the things that we might hear in prayer. God is calling us to hear all kinds of things for the person in front of us. It's amazing when that happens. It's exciting. It's life-changing. And it's also life-changing for the person that you heard it about. Because the one thing that I know for me personally is when I hear the voice of God and it turns out to be true and impacting, my faith grows. God has not left us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that. And so for the fear that comes when we start ministering to somebody perhaps that we don't know, that can all be washed away because we've seen God move in the past. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we can't expect this to be a cookie cutter. We can't expect this to be a rubber stamp. Everybody's different. If you want to look around and see all the people here, you can say, oh, yeah, yeah, that person over there, he's different, she's different. Absolutely. It's just like having, how many people are here today? Let's say 30. Let's say we have 30 balls of yarn. And that represents each one of us. But we all know that yarn has a tendency to be knotted. How are we going to undo your knot? That's the voice of God talking to me. How are you going to do it? How are we going to do yours? And we go all the way around. We are not all encapsulated with the hurts of the past or the sins of our lives in the same way. How do we do it for other people? It's through praying for them and hearing the voice of God. I decided to share with you this morning the parable of the sheep and the goats. We're going to start at Matthew 25, verse 31. If you want to turn to there in your Bible, you're welcome to, or you can just look at it upstairs, thanks to Tim. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and his goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then he will go to those on the left, "Depart from me, you accursed people, into the eternal fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they themselves will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it, that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it for me either. These will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." God bless the reading of his word. Now the thing that's really interesting about that is that people have created a doctrine or theology around this. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, inviting the stranger in, visiting the sick and imprisoned. That's a great list of things to do. We need to be caring for those around us. But did you ever notice that there are some things missing? We were called to witness, weren't we? It's not there, is it? We're called to pray, but it's not there. There's lots of things that I believe Scripture tells us we have to do, but it's not in this list. So maybe it's not the list that's quite as important as what's the underlying message. The underlying message is, whoever's in front of you, that's the one that we minister to. Sometimes it's an issue of sickness. Go and pray. Sometimes it's an issue of being imprisoned. Hungry or thirsty? I prefer not to see you naked, but you know, I can give you a coat if you like. But the reality here is there's lots of things that we could be doing because their lives intersect with ours. There we are. I wrote this down. I felt like this was what captured this. It's minister and care for those whose needs, concerns, and challenges have intersected with our lives. Or very simply, minister to the one who's in front of you. You know, there's a lot of times that we will just go through life and we will not know that something's going to happen. There's an opportunity for us to care, to reach out and share the gospel, even if we don't ever share the truth of Jesus. Just showing the love of Christ is enough to begin to see things change. And so when people cross our lives, what's the opportunity we have to share? How are we going to minister? See, the reality is that when we see opportunities, the first challenge or the first hurdle is jumping over the hurdle to share. How many here are ever afraid to go and share the gospel with somebody or just even kind of be nice? It's amazing when that happens. A lot of times it keeps us silent. I'll share my weaknesses in a few minutes. But one of the real challenges is that because of our discomfort, even if we do step out, a lot of times we begin to start talking about ourselves. We have a person who has a need in front of us, and we're quick to divert from what their need is, what they're telling us all about, whatever the concern is in their lives, how we can help. But we change it because we begin to tell our own story. We do. It's amazing what happens when we use our story, our biography, as a defense mechanism. Okay? Well, wait a minute, you might be thinking, okay, so I'm not supposed to share my biography, but I have been called to share my testimony. Yes! Yes, you have. What's the difference? Our testimony glorifies God. Our biography glorifies ourselves. You know, it's funny what happens when we feel called by God to share something, and we do it as part of reaching out and caring for that person. We don't go down the road, we don't start sharing our entire biography of something that perhaps is even off the beaten path. What that person has possibly been sharing with us, whatever the need, the concern is, it may be the doorway of how Christ is going to help that person. We need to be listening. We need to be listening to what that person is saying and allow God to highlight what that is so that we can actually reach out and care. I believe, Tim, bring up the next scripture. Yeah, you're probably familiar with that. The one who has ears, let him hear. You know, that's all the way through the New Testament, or all the way through the Gospels. Jesus said, for the one who has ears, let him hear. When you take a look at this and you break this down, it's actually very, very simple. It's one hearing with plural ears, understanding, listening, and then obeying. That word, let him hear, is actually more complex than just hearing. I mean, I assume you're all hearing me now. But if I were to give you a command, the first one down in the basement gets chocolate cake. I imagine we'd all be up there running, racing down for chocolate cake because our ears heard, our minds began to understand, and then we acted. And that's really what that last hearing is all about. When God is speaking to you, he's speaking in such a way as to get you to hear, then to understand, process it, and then he will guide you in how to move forward. I was praying with a group of intercessors. I may have shared this already before, but we meet on Monday nights at a church that Glenn and I used to attend, and there was this lady who came in, and she had one son who was 29, one son who was 39, one was addicted to drugs, one was addicted to alcohol, and she herself was just completely exhausted because of the things that her kids were going through that she herself, she couldn't handle. She needed help. And she came in and she said, there were four of us praying together that one night, and she said, could you guys just pray for me and encourage me? And so we said, sure. We started praying. And all of us were just taking turns praying, and at one point I looked up and I looked at this woman, and you could see the look of pity on her face. It was almost like she was not verbally saying, but she was thinking, you know, these are great words, but they're not having any impact on my life. It's like, let's just blow sunshine all over the place. And I said, Lord, what's going on? Just pray, quietly prayed to myself, and I heard the Lord, actually, I felt a pain in my back. And I said, oh, just stop just for a second to this lady, or to the people praying. And I looked at the lady and I said, does your back hurt? And she said, well, yes, it started hurting yesterday. Sometimes we get ways where God highlights the challenges in people's lives in different ways and how we're going to move forward. And so I said, well, I believe God wants to heal you. And I laid hands on her and we prayed, and her back pain instantly disappeared. I said, well, now let's continue praying. But the facial expression on this woman had changed. No longer was it pity, like you're just trying to, you know, sell me all kinds of wonderful thoughts that have absolutely nothing to do with my life. Now it's, there's a God who's willing to touch my heart. The things that we were praying actually changed her. And she left there just completely floating. It was amazing. I saw her a couple years later, and she remembers that night. That had become a touchstone. God had created that moment as a touchstone for this woman to look back and say, God really does care for me. It's amazing how he does that. God wants to show us that he loves us. God wants to show us that he cares. And for the things that he's done in our lives, he gets excited about wanting to do it again. Whatever our needs and concerns are. And so we have, for him who has ears to hear, we need to hear, or we need to stop talking. We need to listen. And then we are commanded to hear, we're commanded to understand. Thank you. To him who will stop talking and listen, the command is to hear and to understand. When we're praying and we're seeking God for something, he wants us to hear. But when we're in a situation where we're ministering to somebody, it becomes even more exciting. I'm sure Pastor Frank has had this experience all the time with all of his ministry to those that are on the edge of grieving, those who have loved ones getting ready to pass away. He'll be ministering, and all of a sudden, something will come to his mind. A great idea that he begins to share or pray out, and it touches these people in a way that only the comfort of the Lord can do. Am I close? See, that's what this is. We hear what the person is saying, and then we hear from God. Whatever the challenge is that we've possibly run over, by possibly telling our biography, we need to stop telling our biography and listen to them, see what God highlights, and then what God is saying, and then move forward. God needs us to listen. God needs us to shut up for a minute. Have you ever been in a conversation where the other person you were listening, now the sermon this morning doesn't count, where you've been in a situation where the person in front of you just wouldn't stop talking? One of the challenges that I see regularly is that somebody will begin to share a need in their lives, and that one of the other people who are listening will all of a sudden, they'll jump out and they'll cut that other person off as if their need was unimportant, and they will start sharing and talking about themselves. But as Christians, we're called to minister. We're called to listen to the person in front of us and to God himself to untangle that ball of yarn, to bring the grace of God into that person's life. Now, I know several of us perhaps are a little concerned about, can we really hear the voice of God? Do we hear the voice of God? Let's move on to John 10:14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become bone flock with cone shepherd. They will become one flock, get rid of the B, with one shepherd, get rid of the C. By the way, those in my Bible are footnotes. So, bone flock, cone shepherd. I'm a professional, you know. Anyway, but the whole idea here is that we were made to hear the voice of God. Jesus says, I know my flock, and they know my voice. Or I know their voice, they know my voice. We're in a relationship. And that's one of the things we need to continue to develop. We need to develop the ability to hear the voice of God. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities to hear the voice of God, but does anybody have a Bible you can just hold up? There you go. Hold your Bible up if you want to show off. That's great. But the reality is that the voice of God will never contradict His Word. Because we have the foundation. Julia, let me borrow your Bible. We've been given the foundation here. God isn't going to say, go out and kill everyone in sight. I mean, He did in the Old Testament, but we're under grace now. There's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was about the law, the fact that we couldn't live up to the law. We just weren't good enough. But then the New Testament came around. We have Jesus Christ dying on the cross, offering His grace, offering His love, offering His salvation. And all of a sudden, things have changed. Remember, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And how He fulfills the law is a little bit different. Some of the laws talk about, you know, we need to repent of our sins. Thank you. And by repenting, getting right with God, returning to right relationship, we need to slaughter animals. We need to have to offer a sacrifice. We don't need that anymore because Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. And when we go out to minister, we minister in the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing, there are things that have been altered. One of the laws that was very strongly emphasized in the Old Testament was the Sabbath day. We all need to spend time with the Lord. We put everything aside. And I would suggest, here's where you're going to throw things at me. I'd say put your cell phones aside. Just spend time with your family. Talk about what they, as they did in the Old Testament, where they shared the wonderful things that God has done and do it in a family setting. How else will you teach your kids how to do it? It's amazing. And then there's some things that don't change. Honor thy father and thy mother. You will have no other gods besides God. You will not witness false bearers. There's lots of things that are continuing on, just as they're written. But we need to ask the question, how did Jesus fulfill it? Because He didn't abolish it. How has He fulfilled it? How has it changed? Or is it changed? And so when we take a look at this situation where we go out and care for somebody, we need to be willing to be obedient. During the first night of our vacation, before we got on the cruise ship, the six of us, we went out to IHOP, and we walked from our hotel to the restaurant, and we passed this homeless guy along the way, and he was kind of sitting lounging on this park bench, this bus stop bench. He had a blanket on top of him, and as I walked by, I said, hi.
He said, hi.
And I heard the Lord say, buy him a cheeseburger, and then pray for him. Give it to him, and then pray for him. So we went into the restaurant. We had a lovely dinner, and Glenna ate my waffles. But I ordered a cheeseburger, and we went out, and we went looking for this guy, and the guy was gone. All of a sudden, I noticed this alleyway. There was the homeless guy laying on the ground, flat as a pancake. Okay. And I went up, and I woke him up, and I gave him a cheeseburger. But, oh, I don't want the cheeseburger. I'm sleeping. Well, you're not going to be hungry later? Oh, yeah, sure. I appreciate you. And I gave him the sack, and he wandered off. What did I forget to do? I didn't pray. I didn't share the truth of God in prayer with him. Well, we were still pretty early in the evening, and we were going to go to Tim and Julie's hotel room, and we were going to play Codenames, whatever that game is. Okay, I see lots of nodding heads. Hopefully you're not sleeping. And so I thought, well, let's just stop at one of the local convenience stores, and we'll just pick up a 2-liter bottle of pop, and then we'll go play games. Well, there's a little strip mall about 2-3 blocks away. And I thought, well, let's just go over there. We'll get the soda pop there. We started going in, and that's when I realized, based on everything that we learned when we were in the Philippines with James and Val and Lisa last time, that this was a Filipino strip mall. But it had been hammered by the pandemic. More than half of the storefronts were closed. And so we were walking down, and there was a convenience store, which, by the way, half of it was all lottery scratch-offs. I mean, I'm sure he was making ends meet doing that. And as we walked in, I heard the Lord say, tell him God bless you. Okay? So we walked in, and there was only one guy. He was sitting in a place kind of hidden. And he said, I'm sorry, we're closed. And all of a sudden, I felt like, I'm in trouble. Okay, sorry, buddy. And I walked off. What did I forget to do? And yet I felt like I was told by the voice of God to say that. Now, if you know the Filipino population, they are very, very, very much religious. And that type of thing would have very much encouraged him. It's very easy to let your pride get in the way. It's very easy to see speed bumps or stumbling blocks get in your way to keep you from fulfilling what you hear the voice of God doing. We were on board ship, maybe it was the second day, and there was a gentleman from the Philippines, and now that my eldest son has a Filipino wife, I feel like I'm partial Filipino. More here than anywhere else, but that's okay. And so every time I came across a Filipino crew member who was willing to talk, I asked him, well, where are you from? And we started talking. This one gentleman, he had a long name with lots of vowels and lots of consonants, and so I'll just call him Bob. And so Bob and I started talking, and I just started asking him questions. One of the greatest ways to find out about people is asking questions. It's not telling your biography, by the way. It's asking questions. And so we started going back and forth, and I asked him whether he had family back home. He said, yeah. Well, who do you have back home? Well, my wife is back home, and I have a young son. He's just under 2. And I said, is everything okay? I kind of had that sense like maybe there's something wasn't. And he said, well, I had a daughter, but she died. She was about 7 when she died, and I think it was because God wanted to take her home to make room for my son that was coming. Painful. Painful, bad theology that God would destroy one person to bring another. And I heard the Lord say, pray for him. And I went and got soup instead. No, I'm kidding. I went and I prayed for him. I told him that I was a pastor and that I just wanted to pray that God would just bless him and comfort him. And he said, okay. And I prayed for him. And It was just a real simple prayer. There were no other crew members around, so he wasn't getting in trouble for not doing his job and picking up my dirty plates. But it was something that touched his heart. From that point on, I wasn't just Joel. I was Brother Joel, Father Joel, Pastor Joel. Those things all went together. Because the thing that I'd brought to him was something that touched his heart. That God cared enough to send a short, fat, old white guy to pray for him in the midst of his discomfort. God wants to minister to those that come across our path. Those that intersect our path, if we're listening to them and we're listening to God, God will show us what we are to say and what we are to do. The last thing I want to share is that we need to spend time reading the Word. We need to spend time in community and worship. We also need to be spending a lot of time in prayer where we actually practice hearing the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Are we hearing? My challenge for 2023 to all of us, especially for me, will you obey the Holy Spirit? Will you obey the Holy Spirit? He's not just ministering to you, he's not just ministering through you, but he's ministering to people around you. You know, it's amazing what happens when you're ministering to one person and that person gets touched. And all of a sudden, it begins to affect a lot of people. Remember the Samaritan woman? When Jesus talked with her, she went racing back to her community. And what did she say? Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. And they all came running. That's something beautiful when Jesus speaks. And we're ministering, hearing the Holy Spirit. The impact that we'll have in a community. I believe God is preparing all of us for just this type of thing in 2023. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fall on each one of our hearts, that you'd grow us in ways that we can't possibly imagine. Father, if there's anything blocking the ministry that you want to have in each one of us, we pray that that would be torn down right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would just cleanse every hurt, every hindrance, every speed bump. Father, get it out of the way. We pray right now for your healing where those wounds were and impacts were having their way with us. Set us free, Lord, to truly be your children, that we might be your hands and your feet, empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.